Washington, D.C.
Hi, family. My name is Janae, and I'm an addict. And I've been asked to read the speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at NA meetings needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic texts, for instance, remind us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively in our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. My name is Janae, and I'm an addict. And I need to tell y'all, I'm nervous as hell. You know, and it's not, well, it is, I'm nervous. And the reason why is because when I have to talk about 6 and 7, I need to talk about me. I can take a topic and twist that shit around and do what I need to do to get through it safely. You know, and I got all of this stuff going on that I have to be honest about, so I have to tell y'all about me. You know, just to qualify myself, the last 6 to 9 months of my addiction I used against my will. You know, my clean date is December 30th, 1989. I haven't found it necessary to use since I got here, though there have been times when I've just wanted to not deal. You know, life on life's terms shows up, and some days I don't have what I think are coping skills. But thank God when I got here, there were some people who showed me one day at a time that I could do anything clean, provided I put some willingness into it. You know, so I need to share that before I share on steps 6 and 7, and I had a sponsor who guided me from the beginning. You know, I had a sponsor who worked with me with step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And my first fifth step was actually done up here at Ocean City at a convention. And we did it at the Dough Roller restaurant because, you know, the plan was to go on the beach. It was going to be spiritual. The sun was going to be shining, you know, and it was a lot like it is today. So in my mind, well, let's just do it another time. You know, my sponsor was like, no, that's not the plan. You know, so we ended up sitting in the Dough Roller restaurant for a few hours. And, you know, I sniveled, snotted, and cried, and I got through it. You know, but the whole time, I need to tell you, I was embarrassed, you know, and it wasn't because of my sponsor, because I had one of the most loving people who could possibly be in my life at that time. She understood me from the inside out. She knew me better than I knew myself, and I was as honest as I possibly could be in that particular relationship at the time. And because when I was writing my fourth step, I called her so often, she kind of like knew a lot of that stuff in my fifth step. You know, but it was easy for me to write it down, and I just, you know, slid across the table. I said, here, you read it. And she said, no, I need you. I said, go and read it, you know. And she was like, no, you need to make the admission for yourself. Right. You know, so we sat there, you know, the whole time people coming in the restaurant, and I'm trying to hide my face because I'm crying, snot running all down my face. And, you know, we got through it. And she was jotting stuff down the whole time we were talking. And I wasn't really focusing on what she was writing because I was just trying to get some freedom. You know, and every now and then, she would have this look of empathy in her eyes, unconditional love and understanding. And that was really all I needed. You know, I shared some things with her that she had not only identified with, she had actually experienced. You know, so, you know, we did what we had to do, and then we came over here to the convention center, and I walked around in a daze for a while, because really, I told that woman some stuff that I wasn't going to tell nobody. I told her about the insecurities, the fears, all the things that drove me to use for so long, because when I first got clean, I didn't think I was an addict. I didn't think there was a lot wrong with me, so I wasn't going to do no step work, and because I wasn't going to do no step work, I didn't need no sponsor. You know, and in the beginning, I often shared it. My favorite cliche was, hocus pocus, keep the focus, because you ain't my sponsor. You know, because in my mind, there really wasn't a lot wrong with me. All I needed to do was get those slips signed. And when that was over, I was rolling up out of here. And I remember telling this guy, you know, it was coming up on time to stop getting the slip signed. And I told him, I said, you know, I really don't think I'm a whole addict. You know, because what I was looking for was an excuse not to stay. He said, that's okay, Janae, because you're not the only one who's probably thought that. But what you need to do is get in touch with why you found it necessary to use for so long and why you couldn't stay stopped when you tried to stop. And I shared with y'all that the last 6 to 9 months of my addiction, I tried to stop. So in the course of doing that fifth step with my sponsor, I told her about a lot of the stuff that I had held on to that kept me using for a long time. You know, I told her about the abuse as a child, you know, and the whole time she was jotting. So I walked around this convention center for a couple of hours in a daze. You know, so when we get back to the hotel room that night, because I'm thinking, well, she ain't said nothing. There must not be a lot wrong with me. And I figured that out anyway. You know, it's not really a whole lot wrong with Janae. So, you know, when we get back to the hotel room, we talking. And she goes in the book that we had, and she gives me this list. She said, Janae, these are the things that I think you need to start to address immediately. You know, and on the list was anger, fear, self-righteousness, you know. And I looked at the list and I looked at her. You know, and I looked back down at the list and I looked at her again. I said, what kind of shit is this? She said, let's talk about some of those things that you talked about earlier today. You know, so she pointed out to me that self-righteous anger was a luxury that I could no longer afford, because my self-righteous anger would let me cover up what I was really feeling. You know, so she went on to explain some of the things that we went over in steps 4 and 5. You know, now I'm not exactly open to what she's saying, but I'm listening because I got to stay in this room tonight. You know, she told me that my anger was an emotion that's real easy for me to display. It's real easy for me to cuss you out and act like I'm mad. She said, but what we want to talk about is the stuff underneath the anger. You know, why do you get angry so fast? What is it about you that won't let you talk about what you really feel? Now, where I come from, you automatically got anger because it backed people up off of you. You know, you didn't say to people shit like, you know, that really hurt my feelings. You know, I don't appreciate the way you talk to me. You know, so, and what she told me was that I was a phony person. She told me that all relationships that I had up until that point in my life was a damn lie because I did not have the ability to be me. You know, now when you 30-some years old and I look back on all the relationships that I was in, you know, that was a rude awakening for me. You know, and she asked me, what was I so scared of? You know, what I was scared of was all my life I had been told shit that wasn't positive. All my life, the people that I trusted to nurture and take care of me had let me down. All my life, I had been disappointed in people, period, to one degree or another. Now, I need to remind y'all that it really ain't got nothing to do with the people, because a lot of the shit they said wasn't what I really heard. I based a lot of my information on what I thought I heard. So, when she was telling me about these things, and, you know, I couldn't be in denial because I had wrote this shit, and once you write about you in black and white, you can't deny it. That's the bottom line. Once you write it, you can no longer deny it. So she pointed out to me all the times when instead of stepping up to the plate and being a real person, I stepped up somebody else because it was easier to deal like that. Now, this is a person who was mean, you know, and a lot of the times I was mean and nasty because a lot of times I was scared. I felt inadequate. I wasn't going to measure up, you know. So instead of saying, no, I ain't going to do that, I would be the first one to say, let's do it. You know, not dealing about consequences, not thinking about them. So when me and my sponsor was in the room and we were talking, she asked me, what is it about you, Janae, that causes you to lie about you? You know, and I thought to myself, lie? All this shit we just talked about, I didn't lie to you. She said, no, I'm not talking about what we talked about today. I'm talking about the shit that you lied about to get to this point in your life. You know, and a lot of it was the fears, the inadequacies, the low self-esteem. You know, when I ain't all right with me, it's easy for me to judge somebody else. So I had a real judgmental attitude when I got here. You know, so she said, these are the things that you need to start to address immediately. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's what you say. Now, how willing was I at the time? Not very. You know, what happened? Somewhere in the basic text, it talks about when you get sick of your old ways, you begin to change. So, you know, because I had did a fourth and a fifth, and I was working on six, I was spiritual. I was in meeting, you know, fine. You know, I done addressed some stuff. You know, it's really not a lot wrong with me. I've shared that with my sponsor. You know, but life on life's terms has a way of making you address some shit that you really thought you was all right with. You know, so it started to show up in other areas. Because I had really stopped cussing people out. And I thought that because I had stopped cussing as many people out, I was really working on some stuff. You know, I wasn't cussing you on Thursday and then sitting next to you in the meeting on Saturday trying to figure out why you was looking at me all twisted. You know, and what I was doing was I wasn't cussing around y'all. I was in grocery stores acting out, acting a fool. You know, I was home being belligerent, slamming cat in the doors, talking to my child any kind of way. You know, I was in this relationship where, you know, I was taking shit out on him, bottom line. You know, because I didn't know anything about going to God at the time. I was going to fix me. And I was fixing me in front of y'all, you know, because y'all thought I was spiritual. But I was home acting a fool. And I remember one night I was talking to my sponsor, and I was telling her about all the shit that they was doing in the house, how they was getting on my nerves. I wanted my daughter to go live back with her grandparents. I wanted this guy that was living with me to get the hell out, you know. And I just went on and on and on. And one more time, I was blaming everybody else for how I felt. You know, it had nothing to do with me at this point. You know, they would just do this because I had a daughter who, I'm in recovery now. You need to act like you're responsible because your mother's in recovery and I'm working the program. But I had a daughter who, she was going to be who the hell she was. And I need to remind you, my daughter's just like me. So I was looking at me every day, the rebellion, the defiance, had to have the last word, you know. And I need to tell y'all that my daughter did not come back to live with me until she was 7 years clean. So at this time, she was really visiting on the weekends, you know. Now, the selfish part of me didn't really want her to come because I didn't want to step up to the plate and be a parent, you know. It was a daughter that I never wanted in the first place. That came out in my fourth and fifth step, you know. I was angry with the people who told me to go ahead and have a baby and we'll be supportive of you through the process. Well, I'm here to report that once she got here, that shit's changed. You know, so it was a lot of feelings with that as well. And my sponsor would say things to me like, Janae, it's time for you to step up to the plate. So stepping up to the plate required some things that I didn't have. I didn't have a lot of courage. I didn't have a lot of dignity. I didn't have a lot of the stuff that was going to require me to be a parent. You know, so my sponsor would always tell me, well, let's go over the sixth step. The stuff that you need to look at, you know. And it was the fear one more time. You know, the fear of her, my daughter at the time. Because, you know, my daughter would say shit to me like, cut like a knife. You know, and the fear was really finding out what she really thought of me. She told me once, she said, how the fuck you think I felt when I was at the bus stop? Everybody at the bus stop talking about crackheads, and I couldn't say nothing because my mother was one. And all of a sudden, I want to be the mother to tell you what to do. She wasn't having it. And I would say to my sponsor, look, her ass going home. She can't stay here tonight. My sponsor would say, oh, yes, she is. You know, because what I needed to do was trust in that process with my daughter. You know, so even though she made me feel like a piece of crap a lot of days, I would have to pray. Because a part of my story was verbal abuse. You know, so I would have to walk down the hall thinking to myself, this little bitch is not staying here. And saying to myself, God, give me the strength to endure. You know, so I was already showing a sense of powerlessness, willingness, because I wasn't taking her home, because I wasn't hollering and screaming and cussing, and because I wasn't putting my hands on her. And I would go back in the room, and I would pray, you know. So a lot of times I prayed and cried myself to sleep, you know. And eventually things started to get better. I stopped yelling at my child, and I started talking to her. And I need to report that once I started talking to her, she started listening, you know. The inadequacies came with, I didn't know how to be a parent. I didn't know how to have relationships with people, you know, because I was scared of what you really thought. And because all that bad information that I got coming up, I was told stuff that after a while you start to believe. You know, and in that relationship that I was in, I never gave 100% of Janae because I was married to my daughter's father, and he beat my ass for breakfast, lunch, and dinner the last 2 years of that relationship. And he would say things to me like, Janae, you ain't nobody to use the bitch. Ain't nobody gonna want you. And then he would crawl up on me and expect me to make love to him. So the anger towards men, and my sponsor pointed it out that really I was trying to make the man that I was living with pay for the shit that somebody else had done to me. You know, and she pointed out that one more time I wasn't being who I really was. You know, so I had to take his face and let him be him and remove the face that abused me. You know, and that took some work because every time he said something that made me think for a minute that it was a man from the past, I acted out. To this day, I cannot stand the word B-I-T-C-H. You know, because this is what this man did to me. So when brothers use that word about sisters, I have to. And I, rather than confront you with why you used it, I got to back away. Because in my mind, I need to protect myself when I heard that word. And at the end, I was fighting for my damn life. You know, somebody needed to be hurt. It was going to be me, but him or me. So when I hear that word today, I simply remove myself. I don't go into the business of explaining to you why you need not use that word. Because you where you at. But because I've been here long enough to know that it really ain't got nothing to do with you, it's still the shit I feel, you know, that I need to remove myself from, you know. I was real judgmental, and a lot of that had to do with how I felt about me. You know, I would walk into a circle of people and hug six people and not hug one, you know. And the kicker is the one that I didn't hug never did a damn thing to me. I didn't hug her because my friends didn't like her. I never even gave the sister a chance. And what happens in this fellowship is that the shit that you reap, you sow. You know, so when you put people in boxes and you leave them there, somebody's going to do it to you. You know, when people start judging you based on what they heard, not what they know, it don't feel good. But the sister came to me outside of a Wednesday night meeting, and I'll never forget it. She said, Janae, I need to talk to you. And my arrogance said, talk to me for what? And she was real quiet and real humble. She said, Janae, I just need to talk to you. And I said, what do you want? She said, I just need to talk to you. And at that point, she decided to walk away. So I had no choice but to follow her. And she said to me, you know, Janae, out of all of the women in this program, you are one of the women that I respect and admire the most. She said, you treat me like shit. What have I ever done to you? And the reality of it was she hadn't done a damn thing to me. You know, so we sat there and we talked for about 20 minutes, and I cried, and I was sorry. And what I decided on the way home was, because I don't go to God in the seventh step and say, oh, please take away the anger, you know, take away the lust, because I get lustful every now and then. You know, what I ask God is just help me not be who I used to be, because I don't want to be the same person I was last year if the person I was last year was causing anybody any harm. Because I've made some mistakes in this program. But that shit don't feel good when a sister come to you, especially after you've shared all this shit, how much you love women unconditionally, you're going to do anything for them. When it's a woman that comes to you and say that, that don't feel good. It didn't feel good at all. And on my way home, I remember asking God, please, let me change enough so that I never make another sister feel uncomfortable in my presence. Because when I got here, the women loved me. There wasn't a woman that I can recall that didn't show me a degree of empathy and compassion. And in the gold book, in the Works High and Wild, talks about when people are doing things that I think they ain't got no business doing, they're really acting on a certain degree of pain. Something's going on with them. And if I look back at my own story, most of my anger, most of my acting out, most of the stuff that I did contrary to the principles of this program had a lot to do with how bad I felt about me. It ain't had nothing to do with all that stuff that I wanted to blame it on. It had a lot to do with what my spiritual conditioning was. It had a lot to do with the low self-esteem, the inability to admit where I was. You know, because it's hard to ask for help when you've been self-sufficient and self-reliant all your damn life. You know, and my sponsor would say to me, you know, Janae, because I would do without before I ask anybody for anything. You know, that was just the way it was. I would do without, you know. And in my mind, I'm being strong. You know, I'm going to get through this. And what my sponsor told me was, what you do when you do that, Janae, is you deny your friends the opportunity to practice the principles of this program because you don't let them show you how God works in people. So you playing God one more time in your own life. You know, I can see it when I'm trying to do it in somebody else's. But when I'm trying to play God in my own life is when I cause the most pain. You know, so what I had to learn how to do was trust that the few people who I had surrounded myself with or who God had placed in my presence was going to be okay to share those inadequacies with, those insecurities, the fears. You know, so when I'm angry today, I have to ask myself, where is the anger really coming from? What's going on here? You know, and most of the times it ain't got nothing to do with what I think I'm angry at. You know, it's something that I haven't addressed. You know, I'm going to share this. My husband and I separated about 14, 15 months ago now. And when I first got out of that relationship, I was telling people that I was disappointed. And a friend of mine said to me, because we had been together 12 years, and a friend of mine said, you're going to get angry. And I said, no, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed that it didn't work out. You know, and the whole time the anger was building. And people would say to me, like, where you at with Vanessa? I'm getting through. You know, I'm practicing the principles. And I had this one sister tell me the very day that I decided to leave my husband, she was sitting in my truck, and we were talking, and I was angry that day. And she said, Janae, I know you upset. She said, and I'm hurt that things ain't working out between you and Bernard. She said, but you're going to have to get through this with some dignity and some integrity. And I looked over her like, she need to get the fuck out of this truck right now. She needs to be getting out of this truck about right now. And she proceeded to sit there and talk. But I'm here to report that a lot of times when I wanted to go to where he lived at, because I like to break car windows and slash tires. And I like to make scenes. Because when I hurt, you need to know how I hurt to some degree. I need to see that you are in some degree of pain. And if you was the reason why I hurt, you need to be the one to hurt. So a lot of nights when I wanted to really act out, you know, I would have to get on the phone and call somebody. Look, this is what I'm thinking. You know, so a lot of times my sponsor would say to me, how dare you want to hurt him? Because after all that y'all been through, a suffering addict do not need you to pour salt in his wounds. Mm-hmm. Did it ever dawn on you that he's hurting to a certain degree anyway? And how dare you? Now, this is the kicker. This is a man that, for the first time in my life, I ever loved unconditionally. How can you love somebody on this side of the street and then cross the street and want to see them in some pain? But you're not angry. So what happened was, when I started to realize how much damage I was willing to do at the time, the guy who told me that I was going to get angry was the man that I avoided. Because I didn't want him to know that he was right. Because the anger just instantly went from, oh, I'm getting through, I'm in the healing process, to his ass need to pay any means necessary. You know, and I go to rage instantly. You know, so my sponsor said, what better time than now? What better place than home than to practice the principles? You know, so instead of praying for him to hurt, I prayed for God to protect him. So instead of praying for him to continue to be miserable, I prayed for God's grace in his life. My sponsor told me that in that Lord's Prayer, when we say, forgive our trespasses just as we've been forgiven, I had to pray for him to be forgiven in full measure, just like I got. You know, so and in the beginning, I can't say that the prayers were sincere, but somewhere in the course of on my damn knees, praying for that man and his some degree of peace in his life, something started to happen. Now, I can't tell y'all where I'm at emotionally most days, but I do know that I no longer want to cause him any type of harm. You know, I do know that he's included in my prayers. And it hurts.
because this is the man that for the last 4 years of our relationship, all my future hopes and dreams was based on us doing that shit together. So I was left in a position where I had to step up to the plate and do that shit by myself. The fear was I going to be able to do it? Because every damn thing that I had based it on included a partner. Every damn thing that I trusted him with, he let me down. Every damn thing that my future included him. Now, could I live my life without him? Was it fair that he let me ride for the damn journey and then drop me off? My sponsor told me that all of that shit was my expectations. I knew who he was when I married him. I had no right to try to make him, mold him into who I wanted him to be. And I used the principles of this program to try to change him. So when it came back to me, you know, it was Janae all over again. So instead of being angry, I learned to forgive. You know, instead of hate, I continue to love. You know, instead of being afraid now to live my life by myself, I'm okay with it. You know, I've trusted in that process because, like I said, it was the only man that I ever loved unconditionally. And I look back on who he helped me become. He was the first man I ever loved unconditionally. He was the first man that ever gave me the freedom to be me. So he was in my life for as long as he needed to be for me to become who I became. And it's okay for me not to have a partner. It's okay for those dreams that I had not to come true. But it's not okay for me to stop hoping. It's not okay for me to stop believing in a future. Because then I'll put myself in a position that I may not come out of clean. You know, so 6 and 7 have been a turning point in my recovery. And I need to say it because in the basic text it says there's still work to be done. Because I still may wake up angry some days. When it's time to pay the bills, I get real fucking angry. You know, I ain't got no half partner, it's just me. You know, so when a lot of stuff is going on, I have to remember, Janae, you got to step up to the plate and do this shit by yourself. You know, because I'm not that little frightened, inadequate, insecure woman that came into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I've learned how to do some shit that I had to do on my own. And the only way I was ever able to learn was to have him removed. Because I tend to rely on resources rather than use my own. So God had to remove him for me to find out the strength that I had. You know, so I'm an addict named Janae. You know, I'm going to share this. I'm not the same person I used to be. But on any given day, I'm subject to do some shit that I used to do. And it ain't because I ain't working a program. It ain't because I ain't doing no step work. It ain't because I ain't got no sponsor. It's because some days I feel just like the girl I was when I first got here. So I'm surrounded with people who encourage me. They motivate me. And they let me be me. And that's all I wanted when I got here, was just to be Janae. I'm an act named Janae. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, I forgot to mention, and this is 6 and 7 step meeting. She helped us out with that.